This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want to beg your indulgence in my using this pulpit, and I'll try to keep turning around and looking at you folks who I've got my back to, and I apologize for that. But this has great sentimental meaning for me. I grew up in this parish, and there are some of you here that perhaps might even remember me being here from, oh gosh, a very small little girl up through college. And when this pulpit was ordered by Father Jim Stauffenberger, it arrived right in time for the Christmas Eve service. And he had envisioned himself as being, you know, christening this pulpit himself with the midnight mass. Well, lo and behold, we had a Christmas pageant, and I was about 11 or 12, and I was the narrator of the pageant, and I got to stand here and use it. And I remember him standing in front of me, looking at me, saying, during the practice, saying, "You're getting to use my pulpit before me." So I beg your indulgence as I travel back through memory. I told Marty, "How did you make the pews so much smaller than they used to be?" So I want to thank Marty also for allowing me to come back to St. Joseph's, to my roots, so to speak. He is sick. I'm sure you all have heard that through the grapevine. So I'm really sorry he's not here, but I know he's praying for me while he lays in bed and suffers. Today's the first Sunday after the Epiphany, that great feast that we celebrate on January the 6th. That word Epiphany means manifestation or revelation. And always on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we celebrate Jesus' baptism at the River Jordan. I always encourage people to listen in this season after the Epiphany. Listen to the scriptures that we have appointed for the Sundays that follow, because in each one there will be an epiphany, or maybe even several. Revelations about who Jesus is, some revelations about who we are, and revelations especially about what we have to do in relationship with each other. So with that in mind, I want to just kind of unpack this a tiny, tiny bit. If you read the Gospel of Matthew in the section right before the one we heard, just a few lines ahead, John is warning the people to repent. He's warning them about the suffering servant, even quoting Isaiah 42, like we just heard read, about this person who is to come, who is to bring the kingdom to all nations, who is to go forward with a winnowing fork. You remember all that. Get rid of the chaff in the barn. And he talks about this person coming with fire and the wind of the Holy Spirit. So then Jesus shows up in the passage we have today. And with all the hordes who are there in the Jordan, with John getting baptized by him, repenting, letting go of their sins, and doing that symbolically by having the waters wash over them in baptism and letting go their old lives and re-embracing a new life with God. Into that horde of people, Jesus jumps in the river. Now, where's his winnowing hook? And where is the flame and the wind of the Holy Spirit? And how is he burning out the chaff out of the barn? Jesus surprises John. I think it's pretty plain there that he really surprises him. And John said, "What are you doing here? It's me who should be baptizing you." So there's an epiphany. There's a revelation about Jesus. Jesus can surprise us. You know, so often we get into a little trap, a human trap, of figuring out everything. Figuring out who Jesus is and how he's supposed to act, and God is in his heaven and we're down here and everything's just fine like that. Keep your distance away from me, Lord. Like John, he's figured it all out. He has these certain expectations, and Jesus surprises him. That is our epiphany, that Jesus can surprise us. And indeed, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is full of surprises. So that's one little epiphany, that's one little revelation about who Jesus is. Another one, when John says, you know, you should be doing this for me, not me doing this for you, Jesus says, let us do it to fulfill righteousness. Now, this is one of the themes of Matthew. He's very interested as a Jew in fulfilling righteousness. It's a very important theme in this gospel. But notice that Jesus invites John into relationship, into the action, into the fulfillment, in working together. And that's another revelation. That's another epiphany, if you will. Because none of us is to do ministry alone. You can't be a single Christian. It's impossible. You do it in community, and you do it with the Lord as your companion. We do it with our Lord as our companion on the way. I always tell children at baptisms that little cross that the priest puts on our forehead, that little cross written in holy oil, sure, they might go home and their parents might make them take a bath that night and they're going to get it washed off, but it stays. Somehow, magically, it stays. And throughout life, that little cross is there, invisible to us perhaps, but not invisible to God. We might even wander and stray, leave the church and decide, I don't need this anymore. The church might disappoint us, let us down, betray us in some way. And we might get angry and say, I can live without this, I'm okay on my own, and leave for years. But you see, we don't have the power to dissolve that relationship that we are in with our Lord. We don't have that power to get out of the covenant that we have entered into, because it's always there, and God is always there with God's arms wide open, inviting us back into relationship. We are still in covenant with our Lord. Another thing that scene at the Jordan tells us, another epiphany we get from that, is imagine all those people in the water. Now, John has asked them to come and be baptized to get rid of their sin. So there's this horde of people in there. Now, does Jesus need to get rid of his sin? Is that why he jumps in the water? Matthew's going to make it really, really clear later on in his gospel that Jesus is without sin. And of course, we all learned that in catechism, didn't we? Which takes me to another memory. I did my catechism, my confirmation classes, in what is now a broom closet. Father Jim's office was this little broom closet back there. Anybody remember that? Has anybody been here for years and years? There were probably about 10 of us 12-year-olds who used to sit in that office and suffer on a Saturday morning from 10 to 11. Because the way we learned catechism was to memorize it. Boy, if you want to kill a 12-year-old's love of the church, make them memorize the catechism. And I must say, as a priest, I've never done that. Never used that as a way to invite folks into the church. Well, the people whom John was baptizing were very symbolically giving up their old lives and entering anew, letting go their sins, being washed, have their sins washed from them. We, when we enter baptism, anybody remember why we do it from their catechism? Why we become baptized? Anybody? Don't be shy. It's to join the church. It's to become a member of the body of Christ. We enter into this covenant made possible by Jesus Christ, where we get, as I, just last week, I baptized my niece's child, her baby. And this child has been living in Australia with his parents, who are very quiet. And they brought him to a family reunion and to his baptism, which turned into a family reunion. And the child was exposed to a lot of noisy folks. And I said to him, "You think this is noisy? You are now a member of the communion of saints that goes back not only all of the Christians in the world now, but all the way back to the beginning of the church. And all the way forward through time in eons that haven't happened. Christians that haven't yet been baptized. We're all family. We're a community. We are the community of saints. We are the body of Christ. So that's why we get baptized, because we want to join this. We want to be a part of this amazing gift of love and community that our Lord left for us. But Jesus wasn't joining the church, obviously, because the church didn't exist when Jesus was baptized by John. And Jesus didn't get baptized because he felt a need to have his sins washed away. But just think of him jumping off that riverbank into that mass of humanity. It was an act of solidarity, of being one with us. We talked a lot in Advent and Christmas about Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, when he jumps in the River Jordan with a mass of humanity, shows a solidarity with us, being one with us, inviting us in with him as he jumps into our lives. This is another epiphany. This is who Jesus is. One of us. God with us. And then, of course, we have God's voice coming. As Jesus comes up out of the water, we hear this wonderful voice. "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased." And I hope you heard the echoes of that in our first reading today from Isaiah 42. "Here is the suffering servant. And we who know," as Paul Harvey says, "the rest of the story, know here is the suffering servant." Another epiphany. God is telling us who Jesus is. And you see, it is only in recognizing and articulating ourselves who Jesus is and what he has to do with us in our lives, and making that commitment to be baptized, to become one of his followers, to be one of his companions on the road. In that way, we too, my brothers and sisters, become epiphanies to a world that is hurting and sore, to a world that is beleaguered by doubt and by fearfulness and by pain, by hopelessness, by loss, by hunger that mostly the world can't even name what it is, an emptiness of soul that they hunger and hunger and just don't know where to go. Just think, this afternoon in Publix or in a parking lot somewhere or on the tennis court, someone might recognize Jesus in your face who has never seen Jesus before. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, here is another epiphany. We are all epiphanies. As we are baptized into this body of Christ and we work as his hands in the world and love as his heart in the world and show a different way of being in the world. When we are baptized, we take on Christ's identity. And so we are also manifestations or revelations or epiphanies to a world that is starving for what we can give it, for the love, the community, the sharing, the belonging, the hope, the love that our Lord shares with us. And that's an epiphany too. Amen.